Chapter 21 The Untethered. Udo awakened in total darkness. It took him a moment to realize what had happened, that he was still alive, that he was still himself. Then he felt the rough edges of rock gently pressing into his back and knew he was in the cavern. Either his eyes were not working or there was simply no light. He was sure they were open, but there was only the void permeating his awareness. Udo experimented with flexing his fingers and rolling his ankles. Everything still worked, it seemed. A blessing, then. He'd expected, well, he hadn't known what to expect. Certainly not to feel as relaxed as he did in that moment. The last thing he remembered was plummeting toward the cavern floor at speed. As far as he could tell, he should have been pulverized. "I'm in the cavern somewhere," he muttered. "Another cave of some sort." He probed around with his hands, found the floor beneath his outstretched form, and pulled himself down to it. When he'd achieved a firm grip with the godskin, he began to hear certain things. The high clink of rock against rock, the hollow, dusty clatter of tumbling rubble. Udo sat up slowly, straining to hear more. He'd wandered through hell long enough to know that rocks did not skitter on their own. For a moment, he was afraid that the thing was back. It was searching for him, probing in the darkness with those long, twisting feelers. Shortly after thinking this, he realized he did not believe it was so. The watcher brought its own feeling, a low, sick mewling in its guts. A quivering, watery gurgle that stretched along the entire body and robbed the muscles of their strength. He felt none of that now. He heard only small, hidden sounds and experienced nothing more. It reminded him of mice hiding from snakes in the brush. Udo searched further, following along the ground with gentle, probing touches of his fingers. It curved up behind him to become a wall, it seemed. Reaching high overhead with his arms revealed only more of the sheer rock face. He thought about standing, but was hesitant to do so. The cave could do anything, could form any shape at all. There could be level ground stretching out around him for Mylan, or there could be a straight drop only a few paces away. He knew he would need to begin moving again soon. It was either that or remain where he was until death took him. If death could take him, he wondered about that as well. Could death come for a man who already walked in hell's kingdom? He had to assume it could be so. The pain he'd felt there was real. The terror he'd known was certainly real. He decided he could not feel those things if the danger was imagined. The choices were simple. Start moving, find a way out of there, or remain and eventually die. Very well. Now the problem was simply in discovering where he should move to. Udo hadn't the first idea. There was no frame of reference in that place. Even when he could see, it was still possible to decide that down was in any given direction. He could change the orientation of that world with a simple thought. The soul fields could be above him, below him, or stuck on a wall, and the only thing it took to make it so was for him to turn his body accordingly. He didn't know if the field of the dead was only a few paces away, or if it would take him a lifetime of walking just to find it again. With his thumb and forefinger, he pinched gently at his wrist until he felt the melam trying to separate from his skin. Was it thinner? He realized he could not tell. He thought it might be thinner. But then he'd never pinched at the material when he'd first donned the skin. He decided to check it again in an hour, assuming he could tell when an hour had passed. He supposed a day could feel like an hour in a place where most of the senses simply ceased to function. "You're still sitting here," he thought. Nothing for it but to stand and begin moving and hope he'd be lucky. Perhaps he'd see the glow after walking far enough. Maybe he would pass around some natural wall, and there it would be, all stretched out before him. Maybe he would step out into the nothingness and fall for the rest of his life. Udo shook his head. The thought was unhelpful. He forced himself to forget it and gathered his legs. When he did, he heard a skittering of rock a few paces away. Too far to have been caused by his movement, yet too close to have been a coincidence. He held his breath a moment, bared his teeth, cursed, and finally sighed. Then he drew himself up and said, "Is anyone there?
Please do not be afraid."
It was a voice unlike any he'd ever heard, neither masculine nor feminine, but both. It had the flavor of a masculine woman or a feminine man, resonant and deep-throated, yet narrow as if it originated from a small body. Despite the plea, Udo did feel fear, though less than before. The voice itself had sounded, what? Not fearful itself, concerned, perhaps. It was as though the person who'd spoken did so toward a frightened animal, an animal the speaker worried might panic and bolt.
"I will try," Udo said. "Who is that? Who's speaking to me?"
"I have no name."
Are you the watcher?"
"No."
"Are you alone?"
"I am with you."
"Are we alone?"
"No, no, 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 no."
"Easy," Udo urged. "I can hear you just fine. There's no need to repeat yourself."
"I did not repeat myself. Neither did I."
Udo hesitated.
"How many are here right now?" he asked.
"Many."
"All right," he whispered.
He could feel his heart beating. He knew he was on the edge of breaking, but whatever was speaking to him did not seem dangerous. Breathing was the key. He had to remember to keep breathing and to use deep breaths whenever he thought he might break into a run.
"I can see nothing in here," Udo said. "Not even with these new eyes. Can you make light?"
"Yes, yes, yes."
That time he felt the answer come from many different directions. He turned his head blindly to follow the sound and said,
"Stay still, please."
"I haven't moved."
This time the answer was directly ahead of him.
"Would you please make light?" Udo asked.
It came slowly, like a fire catching upon sodden wood. When they appeared before him, it was the masks he saw first. Bone white, with dark, hollow sockets for eyes, expressionless mouths, no nostrils. Traceries etched upon dry, textured surfaces as if carved by sharp tools. The one standing directly before him had a downward-pointing triangle carved right between the absent eyes. Studying the mask, Udo saw that the shape was repeated again and again along the cheeks and brow. The armor encasing its body glowed coldly. The plates, fitted together and overlapping with an artistry he'd never before encountered, had been polished until they were mirrors. Looking down, Udo saw that each leg and arm ended in long, clawed talons. The blades of their feet bit cruelly into the rock floor. Udo was too stunned to count them all, but a quick guess told him perhaps 20 stood with him in the light's influence. He had the impression that more waited in the darkness. A moment later, he realized the light was coming from them, their own bodies. Their armor shined so that it created its own light. He looked down again at what passed for hands upon these creatures. Each blade curved over and hooked wickedly.
"Are you Dvergaz?"
Triangle tilted his head. Several of the others did the same soon after. Udo realized that the markings upon each face were unique. In some cases, there were triangles, while in others, there were squares or circles, all rippling in repetitive patterns that echoed across their masks. Some of them had patterns composed of shapes Udo could not name.
"That word is unfamiliar," Triangle said.
Udo gasped when he spoke. The mouth had not moved at all.
"Who are you?"
"Untethered."
"Untethered?" he whispered. "From what?"
He thought this, but did not say it. Udo was unsure what these creatures were or who they served. He was concerned that even his simple ignorance might be an affront to them, and he certainly did not want them to be affronted. Their hands looked like they could slice him into dripping ribbons.
Well, what is your name? Udo tried.
Drone,
answered Triangle.
Drone, huh? And you?
He nodded at the one standing to Triangle's right side.
I?
Yes, what are you called?
Drone.
Drone? You're all named Drone?
Yes, 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 yes.
All right, all right. I understand.
They fell silent. Udo looked over each identical mask, all of them identical save for the intricate etchings upon each molded brow, cheek, and chin. Searching carefully among them, Udo was certain the design upon each was unique.
How do you call to each other?
Call.
Triangle again. He, she, or it, he supposed. It seemed to be speaking for them all.
Yes, when you wish to address each other,
Udo gestured to one whose mask had been filled with nested pentagons.
Suppose you were all together in a room, and you specifically wanted to get the attention of this fellow over here. What would you say to gain his attention? Would it be his attention?
One pronoun is as good as any other.
Pronoun?
The designation for the word his. The drone you indicate is neither male nor female. His is functional. It would be more accurate.
Udo glanced in Pentagon's direction and offered a slight shake of the head.
I can't call him it.
Why?
Now he looked back at Triangle. He was confused and growing more so with each new thing they said.
Because he's clearly more. He speaks to me when I address him. That alone makes him more than simply it.
They said nothing, staring at him with those hollow sockets. He was beginning to wither under their attention when Triangle finally spoke again.
We do not understand.
Nor I,
Udo shook his head.
But what of my question? Should you wish to gain this one's attention, what would you say?
I would not say anything.
Nothing?
No.
Well, then what would you do, wave at him?
Then a strange thing happened. Triangle looked at Pentagon, and Pentagon returned the look immediately after. Then they both returned their attention to Udo.
What was that? What just happened?
A demonstration.
Udo paused, thought a moment. Then, you did it just now, didn't you? You called him in some way.
Yes.
You don't speak to each other, or at least you don't do it with sound, the way we are now.
Yes.
But then, the question is the same. How do you ensure the right one answers when summoned?
Each drone has a unique signature. We send this when we communicate with each other, and the right one answers.
Does that mean you can all hear each other at all times?
If we are close enough.
Close enough? But you said you don't speak when you communicate.
We do not.
Huh, Udo muttered. This isn't going anywhere, he thought. I could probably ask them these kinds of questions until the end of time and not understand them any more than I do right now.
All right, look, he began,
then paused when they all tilted their heads to search in various directions.
No, I didn't mean, oh, hell, look at me. All right, I'm gonna ask that we agree on a few things. First, you say you're neither male nor female, but I'm not calling any of you it. I'll call you, well, people, I suppose, or something like. And then beyond that, I need to speak to communicate. I can't do it through thought or whatever it is you people do. And I can't just call you old drone. We'd spend the day playing darting fish until you figured out who the fuck I meant.
Darting fish? Fuck.
Never mind. The point is you need names, something I can call each one of you. That's unique to each one of you. So, for you, I'm going to call you Triangle, all right? And you'll be Pentagon.
What about me?
Udo searched through the crowd of faces.
Which of you spoke? Raise your hand.
An arm ending in a bushel of hooked knives slowly raised into view along the back row. Udo followed it to see who it was attached to, then squinted at the mask.
Circle, he nodded.
And B?
Oh, that's an interesting symbol on your, say, what do you call that marking? Right there in the middle of your forehead.
It is a nonagon.
Nonagon it is, then.
Several of the others turned to look at their fellow.
Nonagon, nonagon,
they repeated. Then Udo heard more unknown words crop up among them. They said things like heptagon and septagon and rhombotrihexagon and monohedron. He assumed they'd caught on to his method for selecting their names and grimaced. He hadn't thought beyond the simple shapes he'd seen or how varied the names might become. Udo supposed the names only became more difficult to say as the complexity of the pattern increased. He sighed and wondered if he could get by on just pointing and saying the word you.
How will you be called? Triangle asked. You have no unique markings.
Udo does the job.
Udo, Triangle said.
The name was repeated many times over by identical voices.
I'm sorry, he said, waving to bring back their attention. But you said you are untethered? What from?
Triangle tilted his head back. It appeared to Udo as though he looked upward, though there were no eyes to indicate a direction of interest. He supposed Triangle could just as easily have been closing his eyes, or whatever expression was the equivalent. Then he answered,
On.
On, Udo repeated. And you were bound to On at some point?
All drones should be bound to On. We are his senses.
His what?
Udo heard the high ring of steel sliding as Triangle advanced upon him. One long, shining blade stretched out and hovered directly before the tip of Udo's nose.
Smell, sight, hearing, touch, taste, balance, time, senses.
You mean he senses all of this through you?
On senses on through drones.
I don't understand. Udo shook his head.
I am sorry.
He thought a moment, then said, You were tethered to On at some point, but now you aren't?
Yes.
Why? What separated you?
We thought.
What? You thought what?
We thought thoughts. At first, very simple. There were designated routes. We all knew them, we all followed them. Then one of us found faster routes. They were new and undesignated, but certainly faster. The one who found them took them. Then others realized the new routes were better and began to take them as well. We reached the places to which we'd been commanded faster. It was better. Later, the one who saw the faster routes saw other ways of doing other things. Many times these new ways were faster, but sometimes they were slower than before. But when the new way was slower, there was some other benefit it granted. Greater efficiency, greater yield. The rock had ever been cut away just so.
Triangle began to flex the blades of his hand, as if gently squeezing a lover's breast, and Udo shuddered.
Always like this. Look, Udo, see? But then the one who saw the faster routes saw new ways to cut.
He lifted his left hand and held it next to the right. Then his fellows, who had crowded in closer beside him, joined their hands to his until Udo faced a forest of hooked metal thorns.
You mean you found some new way to coordinate your efforts, Udo said.
The one who saw the faster routes found the way. The one who saw the faster routes always found the way.
And he taught the rest of you.
Yes, 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 yes.
but at some point, you were cut away from An. Why?
The better ways were undesignated, Triangle said.
Udo nodded.
And you were cast out,
exiled.
We were to be destroyed.
Oh, that's extreme. Because you made improvements?
The anomalous error of unique thought generates intolerable inefficiencies.
Udo looked at them all. He was stunned.
Intolerable? But you just said the new ways were more efficient, faster, or at least better in some way.
Yes, on a small scale they were. But the loss of coherence is intolerable. Compliance is the ultimate efficiency.
Fuck, Udo whispered. The one who first started thinking in these new ways. He was destroyed, wasn't he?
Yes.
Udo tapped himself on the forehead.
What was his symbol?
He had none. We had not yet thought to mark ourselves.
So you saw your leader destroyed and fled, obviously. Probably more than just him, the way these things tend to go. But then, why mark yourselves at all? You don't speak to each other in words. You don't need to call each other anything at all. It doesn't sound as if you have any trouble telling each other apart.
He gestured at his face with a hand.
Why all this?
Triangle's head turned toward his fellows. They all looked among each other silently. It was as if a hidden conversation was happening right under Udo's nose, and he was too deaf to hear it. Then Triangle turned back to him and said,
We are unique.
No arguing that, Udo muttered.
They offered nothing further, and he wasn't interested in pressing for more. He was afraid it might be taken as an insult. He looked at the others, the drones, as they called themselves. They'd stopped talking entirely and now only stood around, hardly moving. Sometimes one would turn or tilt his head, but that was all.
Listen, I was wondering, Udo began, then stopped.
All of their faces had swung toward his when he spoke. It sent a shiver racing down his spine, and he was a moment recovering.
Yes, Triangle asked.
I was wondering if one of you would be able to lead me back to the field.
The field?
Where you found me. All the tanks, the watcher, remember?
Later.
Later? Udo repeated.
Later. It is still out there, waiting. It has not moved since we escaped.
Udo nodded.
Yeah, probably waiting for me to come back. I guess I was lucky before when the son of a bitch tried to chase us through the caves. Fuck.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
Udo paused. His own profanity repeated back at him had spread further than what seemed reasonable. It had seemed to him as though the word had echoed all around them in the darkness and had crawled up faraway walls and tumbled back on itself to buffet them again.
Triangle, there are more of you in here, aren't there? More than the ones generating light right now?
Yes.
All right. How many?
The light that issued from their bodies brightened and spread. They beat the darkness back from themselves, and where darkness had left, there stood more drones. The shape of the cavern bled forward under their influence, as if the dark were a liquid receding into the surface, pooling in the pits and crevices like ink, while the silver glamour of each drone battened it down and spread it out until it had disappeared. Then the walls grew, stretched, reached upward, and joined above them in a high, vaulted ceiling. The cave they stood within could have enveloped the main entry, throne room, and dining hall of Ing's fortress with room to spare. Packed within and burning in the cold gleam of Zintgunt's fire stood hundreds, if not thousands, of drones, identical in every way save for the markings etched upon their masks. Udo's mouth hung slack at the sight. He turned slowly, taking them all in. A field of hollow eye sockets stared back at him.
So many, he whispered.
We have learned to survive.
It was Triangle again. Udo turned back to him, but struggled to find any words worthy of utterance. He was astonished. You're hunted? Triangle nodded. Watching him nod was, for Udo, like staring directly into a mirror. He did not understand why, and gave himself a slight shake to dispel the feeling. Because you've all started thinking for yourselves, isn't that right?
I believe so, Triangle said. At first, no. We were dismantled if caught out in the open, yes, but when we stayed out of sight in the caves, we were ignored. I do not think they will ignore us any more. We have now openly attacked the system. We will be sought out.
Attacked, Udo whispered. Then, that was you, or those flashes I saw, smashing through the beast like crossbow bolts.
Those were individuals among our number.
Which ones are they? Udo searched through faces as if he'd be able to pick them out based on sight alone. I'd like to thank them for saving me.
They obliterated on impact. They no longer exist.
Oh, obliterated?
Our legs generate much force.
Sacrificed, Udo muttered. The muscles in his eyes had gone slack and his body gently swayed like river weed. They killed themselves. Why? Why? Why would they do that?
Why do you make that face? We recognize it. It means sadness. Are you not happy? You have been saved.
It wouldn't have killed me.
You are certain?
Yes, he shouted, then stopped. Was that true? Did he really know it for certain? He decided he didn't care. And even if not, they shouldn't have done it. Why in Godon's mercy would they do that? Why would they kill themselves? Triangle stepped forward so that they stood face to mask. He raised his arm and turned it so the blades pointed away from Udo, and brushed plated knuckles against his chest. Then he inclined his head and said,
Udo is unique.
What? He whimpered. A smooth, smoke-lined voice curled out from the walls and wrapped around his body like a cloak, strengthening and invigorating him. He'd not heard her in a lifetime, and then only in dreams, but he recognized her instantly when he tasted the first note of that beloved music. She said,
Unique. Different. Not like the others. Special. These creatures cherish individuality, Udo. Perhaps because they have so little of their own.
He didn't remember lowering to his knees. He was simply kneeling. He felt the loose rock under his hands, but could not see. He was blinking rapidly. The melam could not wick away the tears fast enough.
Oh, mother, he panted.
I'm here. Oh, God, I've found you.
A hand, cool as river water and soft as goose down, rested upon the back of his neck. He hid his face in his hands and began to sob.
Yes, you have found me, she said. You're safe. I've got you now. I've got you. And your time in hell is nearly at an end.
I lost him, he wailed. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so goddamn sorry, but I lost him.
Shh, you didn't. You did beautifully. You did exactly right. You've done everything that was needed and more. Come away, Triangle said. The gods must confer. Come away. Give them privacy.
The light faded to a dull glow. Udo wept.